Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all of these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But instead, strive first for the kingdom of God and his justice. And all of these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Once more, listen to what Jesus said. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Now imagine hearing those same words in disaster-struck areas like Florida, Mexico City, and Puerto Rico. "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or your body, what you will wear." Do these words from Jesus even apply in this situation? When clean water is absent, when food sits in shipping containers, and when clothing is all but destroyed. Well, when we hear Jesus speak, context is so very important. And in today's reading, Jesus was talking to prosperous Galileans. You see, these people he was talking to already had access to an abundance of basic necessities, food and water and clothing. Access for these people was not the issue. So it would be contextually inaccurate and indeed spiritual malpractice to apply these teachings to any context where basic necessities are absent. You see, Jesus is not telling those who are homeless to power through their hunger. Jesus is not telling Puerto Ricans to embrace the cliche, "Don't worry, be happy." You see, worry in the midst of those moments of destruction and disaster and desolation grasp our existence, and it's expected that we are worrying. So it's not helpful for me or for you or any follower of Jesus for that matter to explain away the kind of worry by our privileged platitudes here in Chicago. So be careful when you hear today's reading. For Jesus' instructions were not for them, but rather his instructions were for most of us who sit in this room today with access to clothing, to food, and to drink. You see, when Jesus spoke of worry in this pericope, he was not talking about anxiety and disaster or turmoil. Rather, he was talking about being preoccupied and absorbed with our basic necessities. He's saying that it's easy for most stylish of basic needs to become an idol or even a fetish. And at first read, this teaching from Jesus can seem a little vindicating. I mean, how many of us want to admit to being idolaters? Anyone? No? Well, because we think about it and we don't worship a golden calf like those silly Israelites did. We're not pantheists believing our water is actually God. You know, those thoughts are for primitive cultures, not for us educated, urban-dwelling Christians. So we're okay, right? We have nothing to fear. Well, you see, often the most dangerous of idols are the ones that we fail to recognize. Like when we believe that our worship service is more about receiving than expressing thanks to God through our acts of service. Or when we believe that one political party or political candidate will save us. Or when we are engrossed in revering the newest technology, worshiping our own individuality, pining for the next promotion at work, exalting our country's flag above all things, or venerating the superiority of humankind above the needs of the earth. These are all modern forms of idolatry that we struggle with and succumb to each and every day. And so when you look at it like that, we realize that idol worship is pretty much at the heart of what it means to be human. So if I asked you again now, do you worship idols? We probably all have to reluctantly raise our hands. But why is it so easy to slide into idolatry? And why such an intimidating word? Are we afraid that God's approach might seem too illogical or improbable to commit to? Do we live in fear because we might have to give up our rights, or because we dread being vulnerable? Or perhaps we're just too anxious because we're too skinny, or too fat, or too queer, or too straight, or too white, or too dark, or too feminine, or too masculine, or too different, or just plain out too much to handle. Yes. To all of that, yes, we are terrified by all of that. However, I think our central fear as Christians is attached to the cost of trusting God's way. Think about it. If we really were to follow Jesus' command not to obsess about food and drink and clothing, our life would have to change. What would Sunday brunch look like in Wicker Park if we didn't care as much about fashionable food and delicious drink? Might it instead look like being gathered around a table at our home with our friends and then sending that saved money to Mexico or Puerto Rico? Or how would a day of shopping look like if we really lived into Jesus' way? Maybe we'd buy sweatshop-free clothing instead of the more expensive brand or logo. And then we'd have to be comfortable with the greater cost of that type of clothing without the flashy label. We'd have to change. You see, trusting in God might just change our whole lives. And do we really want that? I don't think so. We don't really want to change. Because then what would we do with our time when we're not at brunch and we're not shopping? Where would we look for meaning in the world? Well, Jesus gives us an idea of what we might do with our time and our money if we live this way. Jesus implores us to look to one place only, and that is up. To look up, not at some fictional place where God lives, but rather up at the birds in the air. They're soaring up in the air. Are the birds with no obsession with flashy clothes, birds with no blogs pointing them to the best food, and birds with no reviews flocking them towards the best drinks in town. There in the sky are the birds reminding us that God has provided for their every need. These birds do not search for the newest ways to package the same old necessities, but rather, these birds recognize that our God has provided and will continue to provide all of their basic needs. So if we really looked up at the birds, if we really owned Jesus' statement, and we weren't fixating on drink and food and what's the other one? Clothing. I'm losing some of you, so this is where it gets interactive. If you pay attention, then I don't do this. So what are the three things? Blank, blank, and blank. Food, drink, clothing. So what would we do if we stopped fixating on food, drink, and clothing? Well, Jesus reminded us to seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. And its justice. Well, you see, because Jesus reminds us that our justice work, our work to care for creation, our work to protect refugees and immigrants, our work to support the poor and the sick, and our work to transform natural disaster into life is our primary focus, not the food and the drink and the... The dog gets it better than you all. Let's try that again. The food, the drink, and the... And now the dog decided it's time for a nap. So instead, we spend this time not obsessing about food and drink and clothing, but responding to provisions that God provides, not out of fear or obligation, just like we say at every baptism, not out of fear or obligation, but rather out of thanks to God for all that we have received. We respond because in that work, we begin to see the kingdom of God on earth. Or in other words, if you don't like that churchy language, in our efforts to pursue justice, we begin to see God's justice and peace on earth. We begin to see something that cannot and will not die. We begin to finally experience everlasting life. And one famous person who looked at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field as reminders of this everlasting life was Saint Francis of Assisi, who is pictured on the front side of your bulletin. Now, although he was born in Italy to a wealthy clothing merchant, he left his lavish lifestyle to give up everything for the birds, so to speak. And as he encountered beggars and the sick, his passion to embody a life of simplicity grew and grew. Instead of food, drink, and clothing, he led a simple life so that others could simply live. And Francis's best tutor in this way of life, his best instructor, was nature. For it was in nature that he felt God's presence. It was in the forest where he witnessed God's provisions. And it was among the birds where he devoted himself to the work for God's justice in response to God's love. And so too on this Sunday, we give thanks for St. Francis's witness as we bless our pets in thanksgiving, not to St. Francis, but in thanksgiving to God. We pause to remember that our pets sitting next to us or underneath us or cuddled up next to us at home, these pets are God's beloved teachers. For it's with their presence that they help us to move outside of our narrow-minded desires and pursuits. They encourage us to exercise and to play. They become catalysts for new relationships as we walk around the block. And they help us to appreciate the small pleasures of life. Those small pleasures like a warm, sunny spot on the floor, or an open car window, or just a simple midday nap. So as we bless these many pets today, we are reminded of God's abundant provisions. And their presence encourages us to recognize the idols that we make out of life. And then with our newfound awareness, we can do the one thing that Jesus instructs us to do today, and that's to look up in the air at the birds. And as those birds fly off into the far-off distance, we might allow them to shift our focus entirely, to shift our focus towards God's justice for and presence in all living things. Thanks be to God for the birds in the air. Thanks be to God for the love of our pets. Amen.